Chair, apologies from Councillor Beattie, Councillor Bennett, Councillor Emery and Councillor Devink.
Thank you. Order of business?
Is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Any declaration? Item 4 minutes of the meeting of the 25th of November for approval. No comments on that. Item 5A. Stop Hill Road, Gout's Hill. And item 5B, Robert Smiley Avenue. Which then brings us on to the visit we did yesterday to Greenlaw Grove. Okay, Peter.
Thank you, Chairman. The report relates to a review submitted regarding the erection of two extensions and the formation of decking and patio at 4 Greenlaw Grove, Milton Bridge, Pennycook. The proposed flat roof extension to the north of the property measures 6.3 metres wide by 18.5 metres long and will be between 3.4 and 4.1 metres high. This extension will result in the demolition of the existing garage and will form a new kitchen, dining room, living room and family room. It is stepped back from the front elevation by 1.5 metres and runs along the gable end of the house and projects 11.1 metres beyond the rear elevation of the main house. This extension will be 1 metre away from the boundary with the neighbouring property at number 3 Greenlaw Grove. The second flat roof extension is to the south of the property and measures 12.2 metres wide by 7 metres long and will be between 3.1 and 3.3 metres high. This extension will result in the demolition of the existing conservatory and will form a new garage and artist studio. It is stepped back from the front elevation by 2 metres and runs flush with the rear elevation of the main house. The application also includes the formation of a rear decking and patio area, which is bounded by the existing rear elevation of the main house and the proposed elongated extension to the north of the site. Proposed materials are to be reconstituted stone elevations to the front of the property and render walling elsewhere. Other works which the applicant is proposing to carry out which do not need planning permission also include alterations to the existing finishing materials, the formation of an extended driveway to access the proposed relocated garage, and the replacement and reconfiguration of windows and doors. A planning application for the proposed works was refused on the 9th of December 2014. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. The local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, the 19th of January 2015. And the review is to proceed by way of written submissions in accordance with set procedures. Following today's decision, a decision notice will be issued through the Chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Thank you, Peter. Has anybody got any comments to make?
Yes, it is. The extension is bigger than the main building just now, and I seem to remember we had one in the same area, which had the same problems, being bigger. But as we passed it yesterday, I thought it looked quite good, and given the privacy of the site, in any case, I wouldn't leave any objections to this being permitted.
I think I agree with Bob and what he's saying, and I would move that we uphold the appeal, and with the as long as they follow the conditions, as in page 16, 5-1. I'd run 1, 2, and 3.
Thanks, Chair. I'm kind of similar-minded, but one thing I'm not sure about, if you go to page 61, basically the second paragraph of the four bullet points, and the first one confirms that the workspace of the property will not be used for any business purposes, and that car movements to the garage will be approximately once a week or a fortnight. It seems an awful lot today to just have a car going in and out once a week or every 2 weeks. Is there any more information on that? Or it just doesn't seem there any point putting a garage in if that's all you're using it for.
I think there's two things there, Chairman. The first is it's quite a substantial extension there to the south side of the property, which my understanding is that the applicant wants to use, especially once they retire, for a sort of an art studio, not as a commercial basis, but for their own interest. So it's quite a big open space. But also included in that is space to park a vehicle. Although the applicant hasn't said this, I'm speculating that the plan is actually just to park the car in the drive like a lot of people do. So I think the reference to the frequency is actually physically going in and out the garage rather than how often you arrive and depart from the property.
Anybody control that?
Yeah, sorry, Chair, just to pick up on the other point about whether it's a business or not. The application is for the extension to residential properties, so we are looking at about a residential use, which includes possibly an ancillary art studio if it's used incidental to the enjoyment of the dwelling house. There is, in terms of the report recommendation, to put a condition on which does just control that, which gives some sort of comfort, hopefully, to local residents. But if, and what I'm looking at, if sort of worst case scenario, if permission was granted, the development was carried out, and then someone decided to operate some form of business from that building, that potentially is subject to further planning control in terms of a plan application for change of use. So there are controls there. I know there is a bit of anxiety from the people that have made representation about that being used as a business, but like I say, if it escalates to a level which triggers a change of use, then a separate planning application could be required. The reason we'll sometimes reinforce that with the condition is that there are very low-level activities which don't trigger the need for a planning permission. The easiest way of explaining that's actually if you think of someone who's maybe self-employed accountant who's got the spare room as their little office. Now, they may be operating a sort of business from home, but there's not a change of use because the building's not changed. There isn't the customers coming and going. So there may be a situation where, and I'm just speculating here, that if someone's using the extension as an artist studio and sells a painting once in a blue moon commercially, that doesn't trigger a change of use just because they've sold a painting. You know, it takes a bit more than that.
Thank you, Chair. I have no basic objections to this, having seen it, that as regards overlooking neighbours, I don't think that's an issue. As regards the size of the extension, again, you know, it does seem quite a large extension, but the garden itself is very big as well. If you compare it to other properties in similar situations where you've got a large garden, I don't think it would be out of keeping with that. The only question I would like to ask really is that as regards the hedge adjoining the next door neighbour, I know it says they've instructed a landscape gardener, do not envisage any issues with the hedge root system. I can see that if that hedge were to be lost, then it could be a bit more imposing for the neighbour than it is at the moment. So I would just like to be a bit more reassured on that front, but other than that, I don't have any objections to it.
Yeah, the proposed extension on that side of the property is set back from that boundary by a metre. So that, in theory, that's sufficient space to not only build the extension without damaging the head, but also doing that sort of engineering works where you excavate to put foundations in. Obviously, if a builder does damage the hedge, then that is their responsibility to replace that, and that becomes a legal dispute between the two property owners. But that 1 metre separation should be sufficient not to damage it.
Derek?
Yeah, Chair, I think I'll just be the lone voice here today, so it seems. But, I mean, I keep in mind that we're here for a planning application. We're here for an appeal, and the appeal is on the decision based on the Council's planning policies. Planning policy DP6, clearly states, and it's as clear and equivocal, that all extensions should be clearly subservient to the existing house. This certainly isn't. This is a way up and above. the size of the existing house. So therefore, when the planning officer dealt with this, he was dealing with on policies that we have passed, and our job here is to judge whether or not he's taken the right decision or whether there are any other mitigating factors that think we should override the decisions. I can't see any in front of me today that say here's the reason why we should override them. So therefore, following the policies that the officer had to judge this on is what we are supposed to do here. Therefore, I can't see a reason to uphold this appeal today, and I would actually be arguing that we have to stick with the planning officer's decision here, because this is clearly a much larger extension. It's not anywhere near subservient to this house.
I don't think you've made your indications clear, Adam, which way you're going to vote, but it looks to me... Yeah, so, well, that looks to me like to be 4-1, Derek. I don't think we should have a vote. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just going to make the point for the record that I just actually think the planning officer's got this right.
Okay, so we'll make it land the appeal, all right?
Yeah, Chairman, just to confirm, that's granting planning permission subject to those three conditions which are in the report in section 5.1.